about you, but when we come in here on Sunday mornings, that's what I want you to do. On that ride in, don't be arguing. I get it. I know. Thank goodness I got a shorter ride now. We don't have to. We can't really get into it going up and down the hill right here, but there was a time when we had to drive more than 5 minutes to get to church, and we would argue over McDonald's. No, we wouldn't. I'm just playing. My wife and I never argue. I always say, yes, ma'am, you're right. Men, take a note. That's how you have a good, long 50, Mike, am I right? 54 years? Let's just stop right there. I don't want that to be, let's make it a 55 too. Let's just hold on. That's all right. Thank you very much. But we need to make sure that before we come into the house of God, we're primed. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's get primed up this morning. God, I thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord. I thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, I thank you for dwelling inside of us, Lord. I thank you for every blessing that we have, that your word is yes and amen. And just I ask today, Lord, that we walk out of here differently than we walked in. And in the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. So, this morning you got your Bibles with you. Let's open up to Isaiah 40. We're going to get started here. Little Brady, I heard last week, little Brady was watching me as I was going back and forth here. And so if he comes on up here and preaches today, y'all know what happened, okay? Yeah. I'm all right with that. A future preacher, George, would be okay if you raised a future preacher. Wouldn't that be a testimony? Yeah. George, I know where you've been at, buddy. You know what I'm going to say? I think God is raising you up for something great. Amen. I think that generational curses end with you, brother. Everything that has come against you and your family ends right now in the name of Jesus. How many of you need a generational curse to end at your doorstep? Raise your hand. You take authority over it and you speak to it and you say, this is the line, I draw it in the name of Jesus. You can't come past this line. You can't come nigh my dwelling. Yes. God is good. And I'm going to tell you right now, in 5 years, you're going to look at George and you're going to think, my goodness. You know how I know that? 10 years ago, I walked into this church. And I wanted to run out. I got up here and said, this man is crazy. This church is crazy. All this stuff is nuts. And now 10 years later, I'm happier than I've ever been. Yes. And I'm not happy because of my circumstances. I'm happy because I have my joy. The joy, I'm going to tell you, the joy that God can give you is the greatest joy that you could possibly have. Amen. And without it, life seems empty. But with it, every day is an adventure. Amen. Every day is a good day. Now, not every day has good things happen. I don't live in some, you know, fairy tale life here. Things happen. But every day is a good day. Amen. God is at the wheel of my car. You understand? My life vehicle is driven by the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost is behind the wheel and he's taking me where he wants me to go, not where I want to go. Now, y'all know I preach 4 sermons before I get into the actual one. But I'm going to tell you right now, some of you need to get out of the driver's seat and get in the passenger seat. Some of you need to let go of the navigation system that's yours and turn on your GPS, your God positioning sensor. Some of you need to get a hold of it and understand that where God is going to take you to is better than where you could take yourself. So I'm telling you, in 5 years from now, you're going to see George standing up here, and I'm telling you what he's going to be sharing, and you're going to go, I knew him when. And you know what he's going to be saying? Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. I'm telling you, because I sing it. If y'all been around me any period of time here, you're going to know something I learned from Pastor Mays a long time ago. I got a hold of it. He'd always go around the church. I'd hang out with him. Y'all good? Y'all with me? I would come around here, and I'd get around him, and he'd just sing all the time. Hallelujah. And I'm just thinking, man, you old and crazy. What are you doing, Pastor? He'd just go on and he'd start singing. And I just kept, and I would ask God, you know what my prayer was? I want what he's got. That's what I told God. I said, God, I want whatever he has, I want it in my life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now, it may look a little different. He and I are not the same, but the anointing that flows is the same anointing that comes from God on high. And I wanted that anointing. I said, Lord, I want that anointing. You know why? Not for myself. What good is for me to have a river and dam it up where it doesn't flow anywhere? I wanted the river of goodness to come flowing out for others to be able to see and partake of. Now, that was my prayer every day. And still my prayer today. God, use me today. Lord, I wake up in the morning. That's what I say. Lord, give me some God opportunities today, Lord. And give me an opportunity to show love to somebody. And sometimes you need to show some love right inside your own home. I'm going to tell you, I watch, I'm sure she gets tired of this, but Ashley, poor thing, I watch her. She works with some people who are miserable. And she sits at a computer all day long. I don't know how she does that. She sits at a computer all day long, has a headset on, and you know what she hears all day? People talking in her ear. Yep, yep, yep. And let me tell you, they ain't talking the word of God. They're talking about everything else that's going on in the world. Everything else is bringing them down. And you know what they're doing? They're trying to load her plate up. They want her to take their baggage and claim it as her own. And I'm telling you, when I wake up, I say no in the name of Jesus. They're going to just hush up, shut up, get up, and maybe they could do something for the kingdom of God one day. But I pray over my wife. I get up in the morning. God, now I'm speaking a special blessing over my wife today. Nothing's going to steal her joy today. When they talk, I want it to fall on deaf ears. I want her to say, huh, 700,000 times in a day because she's not listening to it. But you know what I do? I go over and I say, honey, I love you. You're so good, sweetheart. I'm so proud of you. I know that you put up with all that stuff, and you still keep going on strong. And I mean it when I say it. I'm not just flattering her. I really mean it. Some of us need to be telling other people that are close to us. See, we kind of forget sometimes that they go through trials and tribulations and struggles in their life, and we just take it for granted that they're your partner and that they're with you. But I want to tell you, encourage your partners. Amen. Encourage your friends. Encourage your children. I see my kids. Michaela came home. Horrible first day of school. Bad. Bad day. She came home. She ready to throw in the towel. Quit. I said, well, that's probably every other middle schooler that there was this year. But you know what I did? Honey, it's okay. Sweetheart, well, what was one good thing out of today? Well, I did meet a friend named Sophia. Oh, good. Well, see, sweetheart, that's good then. The next day, was today a little bit better? Yes, Dad, today was a little bit better. I started encouraging her every day, giving her words of uplifting message into her, and I want you guys to do that with each other. I would be curious to see how many words of encouragement, if we wrote them down, how many we would fill up a book with. Some of us may not fill up one line. Some of us may fill up a page, some may fill up a book, but I want to encourage you to start writing that words of encouragement down in your life. Please don't write them down. Y'all might get really shell-shocked if you see that. Oh, I know. Am I stepping on some toes? Everybody was fired up a minute ago. Now everybody's going, ouch. Oh, that hurt. But I want you to know why. It's because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you will fill this up with encouragement on yourself, David said that. He had to encourage himself. I want you to encourage yourself up if you have to. Get in the Word of God. Spend your time with him. Start priming your pump and start letting it overflow. Amen? Amen. How many is going to do that with me this week? Amen. Praise God. That means everybody's going to have a good week. Everybody. All right, so let's get to the message today. Isaiah 40. I got to take my glasses off to read that. Imagine that happening. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to read verse 12 through 15, and then we're going to jump down to 25 and 26. This is what it says. The Bible reads, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands, measured heaven with the span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighing the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or has his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles, is a very little thing. Now go with me to verse 25. He's talking about God here. God is asking that question, saying, who do you think did all this? Who do you think created the heavens and the earth? Who do you think? And he's asking this question in a rhetorical question here, and here's the answer at 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? That's what God is saying. So who could be equal to me? Who can you compare to me? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Today I want to pose a question to you, and we're going to look to answer it today. How big is God? It's a question that a lot of kids ask me. They say, I love you to the moon and back. You ever heard that thing? So is God as big as that? Or where did God come from? Or how did God, create things? And kids ask those questions. And one of the questions I've been asked is how big is God? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, some of us need to get a refresher course on how big God is. And so today, we're going to look to answer that in a three-part answer for it. The first thing that I want you to know is that he is as big as the Bible says he is. The Bible lays out how big God is and what he is capable of doing. You ever heard of the three O's of God? The Bible tells us that he is omnipotent. It means he has the power to do anything. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He has all knowledge and knows all things. God knows what has happened, what is going to happen, and what is happening. Not just in one space, or he knows everything. Isn't that good? Amen. That ought to be encouraging. You know why? Because when you're going through it, God wasn't caught off guard. He knows what you're going to go through tomorrow. You think that it's going to catch him off guard with it? He's already prepared for every battle that the devil wants to try to put in your life. He's omnipresent. God is everywhere. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. You know, God operates outside of space and time. That's why, we say all the time, don't try to put God in a box. You can't put God in a box. God is everywhere. That means that everywhere you go, God is there. Now, I hate to say that. Sometimes I used to walk into a bar, and there's some other places I used to walk into that I would think, surely God isn't there. But you know what? I think God was there protecting me during those times. Because there are some places I went to that I should have never have walked out of. I'm going to tell you, can I tell you a little story? I was, and it's been many, many years ago. Brother Sean, do I have immunity if I say? Okay, all right. So it was in my drug use days, and I had gone with a friend to his dealer. It's the first time I'd gone there. We were going to this house, and we were going to go score and get what we wanted to get. And so we get up this little house, and it's night, maybe 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, I can't remember, but it was dark, and there was some red lights on the outside of it. And as we're walking up to this little shack of a house, they had cameras everywhere. The house probably cost $1,000, and the camera system $50,000. And so I'm walking up, and I'm looking at all these cameras right here, and I'm getting nervous as we're getting up to the house, and he invites me on in. He says, come on in here. We walk in, and there's people sitting everywhere in this house. No real lights on. It's dim. Everybody is high or drunk out of their mind, and there's probably about 15 people sitting in this home right here. And they're all sitting around in the living room, and they're on their couches and stuff, and my so-called friend, y'all need to be putting your friends to the test, too. Don't hang out with Goofy. You'll get Goofy. My so-called friend said, well, you just hang out over here. I'll be right back in just a second. So he goes taking off, and he walks back into this back room back here. And he's back there for about 5-10 minutes, something like this. And then the door opens up. He sticks his head out. He says, you need to come on back here. Well, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. Okay. So I walk. I get to that door, and I open that door up, and I walk into this bedroom area here, and there's this guy, and he probably is 6'3", and probably weighed 450 pounds, the biggest dude I've ever seen in my life, and he's sitting on the side of the bed right there, and sitting in his lap is an Uzi. He's got this gun sitting in his lap, and he's got these cameras all right there. All the screens are right there in his bedroom. He's been watching all this stuff, and he sits there, and he looks at me, and he says, who are you and what are you doing here? Well, I'm going to tell you something right then and there. Whoo, I got real nervous. And I explained to him, man, I'm just here with my friend, and we were just coming by to pick something up. And let me tell you something. He told me, he said right then and there, and I'm going to tell you, when you got a gun pointed at you, reality hits a whole lot differently than watching something on TV. And that guy looks at me and he says, you ever come back to this house again, you won't be leaving it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God was with me that day. Now, here's why I say all that to tell you. You need to recognize when God is moving in your life for you. And look back and remember when he's carried you through those things and how good God really has been to you, because everywhere you go, he's with you even now. So you know what I do now? I don't go to those places no more. Part of it is I'm set free of it, praise God. But part of it, you know, there are places I don't walk into because I don't want to take the Spirit of God with me in it. I knew I'd get a holy hush. That happens. You know, there's things on television I don't watch because I don't want God to see me watching that. Amen. There are things I don't read because I don't want it in me. If it's in me, it could come out of me. Here's what I will tell you. You want to know somebody's true character? Shut up and listen. Be quiet. Because eventually, they will talk so much, it will come out of them, and you'll get to see who they really are. I've had people in my life that talked a good game but couldn't walk it. Amen? But God is everywhere. He's everywhere with us. No matter where we go, God is as big as the Bible says he is. And don't make God small and the devil big. See, I think we got a whole lot of Christians that do that today. I think we got a whole lot of Christians that give the devil all this credit for things. And they say, oh, the devil's working on me today, buddy. He's getting me hard today. And here's what I will hear them talk more about what the devil's doing than what God can do. And here's what I want to say. I want to say, well, I get all that. But you know what? God's bigger than that. God's bigger than the problems you're having at work today. God's bigger than that checking account that looks like it's spread awfully thin. God is bigger than that job that you've been trying to get but can't get a call back. God is bigger than that family member who's turned against you. God is bigger than that friend that walked out on you. God is bigger than anything that the devil tries to throw your way. God is bigger because the Bible says he is. And if we would know that, if we will understand that, then all of a sudden what will happen is God becomes as big as the truth that we know about him. If you don't ever read this word, you don't know what God could do. If you don't ever spend time in it to get to know, this is why I think this Bible study is so important. As I see people, young, old, big, tall, being defeated by the devil because they don't know how big their God is. They don't know what this word really says that he can do for them. And if they do know, then they can understand what he's capable of doing. Let me give you an example. Y'all still with me? All right. I'm going to let you go about 3 o'clock today. Somebody didn't get Nabisco. Somebody brought Little Debbie's or something I saw the other day. So I told y'all I'll start bringing a snack with you. Pack a lunch. My father-in-law, can I brag on him just for a second? I'm trying to get brownie points with him. It ain't working, he says. That's pretty good. My father-in-law is pretty handy. He's one of those guys. Now, I'm sorry if you get overcalled with everybody. Y'all don't be calling him, asking him to fix everything. He's a handy fella. I have yet to see something that I've asked my father-in-law to fix that he can't fix. I'll give you an example. Got up there to the house. The water thing in the refrigerator door wasn't working. I thought, oh, my life's come to an end now. Oh, my goodness. My wife loves that water in the door. I said, Holland, what are we going to do? Hey, Robert, what's going on, buddy? Y'all know how that conversation starts. You got to butter them up a little bit, you know. Man, it's good to see you the other day. Hey, listen, if you're not busy, can you come take a look at this? It comes in my house. 5 minutes later, I got water flowing. Called my father-in-law up, said, hey, man, my truck's doing this. I don't know what's going on with it. Well, bring it on by. I drop it on by there. 2 hours later, hey, I got you taken care of. Everything's settled. Man. Then I called him up and said, Robert, I got problems with this. You know, no matter what it is, he always steps up and handles it. He's capable. But if I didn't know what he was capable of, he wouldn't be able to fix nothing for me. Because I didn't know the truth of what he has to offer me. Does that make sense to y'all? Here's what I want you to know. See, God's truth is all in the Bible about what he can do. And God, just like my father-in-law, now, I'm going to put him to the test here. We're going to see if he talks bad about me. Does it bother you that I call you brother? Do you take joy in helping others? Do you know that it's a gift of God to you to help others? And that when you help others in that, in the ministry like that, that it's a greater impact than other people have just by giving somebody $20? Do you know that? See, it doesn't bother him for people to come to him and say, I need you to help me. Do you know God is the same way? God says, I want you to come to me. If you need help, I can help you. I have the truth. I want to give you the truth. You know why? Because that truth will then set you free of it. Some of us need to be calling on our Father God a lot more than we call him now. But he'll only become as big as the truth that you learn about him. Second part, how big is God? He's as big as we will believe him to be. And it's according to the word of what he says. And Matthew here, and this is Jesus speaking, Matthew 19, verse 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. See, you got to believe that God can do it. If you don't believe that God can handle something in your life, you won't allow him to handle something in your life. God will never outgrow the space that we allow him to fill in our lives. I'm going to say that again. God will never outgrow the space that you allow him to live in your life. If you don't think God's going to do it for you, it ain't going to happen. Do you know why? You have the authority. Miss Linda, you have the authority given by God. Am I telling the truth? Dennis, you have the authority. You have the authority to overcome anything that the devil throws your way. George, you have the authority. You've taken the authority. You know when he gets up and celebrate recovery, he says, my name is George. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who used to struggle with drugs and alcohol, but that has been set free. I don't like it when people say, I'm recovering from. I'm already recovered. Do you understand that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And they get into this thing and they don't understand that Jesus paid a price for your salvation. And through him, you are the righteousness in Christ. I'm not telling you to get a big head. I'm telling you to get a big mouth and start talking about the goodness of God and what he's done for you and to you and through you. But if we don't get that space, if we don't have that belief, that big belief that God could do big things, then he won't do big things because you won't believe it for it to happen. I was talking about this to somebody the other day. They said, I don't understand why Jesus, when he went back into his own town, why he didn't do all these signs and wonders. Remember when they said, hey, if you're really the Messiah, you can show us, give us a sign. And I told him, I said, in the Bible, it tells us that Jesus could only heal a few sick because of their unbelief. If you don't believe God can do what the Bible tells you he could do, then it ain't going to happen in your life. Roger got a death sentence, 6 months to live. How many years? 16 years ago. Roger believed what God said that he could do and would do for him. Now, you know what everybody else tried to do? They tried to narrow in his belief. They tried to cut it back into their belief size. Don't let other people determine the amount of belief that you've got because they'll do it in a heartbeat. They'll say, but Roger, you understand, though. But most people, Roger, you only got like a 5% chance of living. You know that? Oh, Roger, we're praying for you. Roger said, shut up and get out. Amen. Stop trying to limit my belief in what God can do. How many of you are believing for something from God today? Show me your hand. How many are believing? Man, I'm believing. Every day I'm believing. And I'm believing for big things to happen in my life and in my children's life and in your life. My belief just ain't for me. My belief is for you. George, you want to be debt free? Yes, sir. I'm believing it for you. I'm telling you. Roger, you want to grow to be 90 years old? A good 90. I'm believing it for you. Miss Mary, I'm believing that them kids are going to all line up and behave in that cafeteria for you. See, that's a big belief. I got a big belief. We need to have a big belief in a big God. That you've got him boxed in when the little things in life don't work out. When you are praying and believing for something small and you're only getting small and then you start praying, believing for something big and it don't happen, increase your belief. That's it. You got to get outside of yourself. You need to get out of that driver's seat, get into the passenger seat, and let God do what God is going to do. Amen? The last one, the third part. Now, this sums it all up to me. How big is God? He's as big as he needs to be. Psalms 34 tells us, 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Everybody say all.
All.
You think if my daughter came to me with a paper cut, that I wouldn't help her with her paper cut? I'd bandage that thing up. I'd give her kisses on that thing. I would help any way I could, right? You think if somebody was bullying my daughter in school, she came to me to tell me about it, you think I'd help her with that? Absolutely. God is as big as we need him to be. And you are going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have afflictions, especially if you're a born-again believer, because the devil wants to hold you back. He does not want you marching forward with the good news of the gospel. He does not want you to be able to proclaim the good news to others. And so what the devil wants to do is try to freeze you in your tracks. But here's what I want to tell you today. If you'll let God be God, there's nothing that's impossible to be done in your life. If you'll just let things hand over to him, understand that those afflictions that are coming are going to happen, Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. I want to try something real quick. Michaela, come here, honey. Can I borrow you for a second? Now, everybody knows that's my daughter, Michaela, here. She's big, bad, 11 years old now. Michaela, now this is heavy. I want you to come here. Turn around, face everybody. You think you can hold this right here? Two hands, I want you to hold that. You got it? That's pretty heavy, isn't it? You got that one, though? All right, let's put this down. Now, this symbolizes your problems, okay? This is the weight of things, the afflictions that are going on in your life. Now, Michaela here, she did that pretty well. That wasn't too bad, honey. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come pick this one up, and I want you to curl that one for me. Can you try to do that? Don't drop it on your toe. Don't drop it on your toe. All right, have a seat, sweetheart. Now, George, come here for a minute, buddy. Now, George, I'm going to put you on the spot. Now, George, hold that right there. That pretty heavy? You can handle that, can you? You can handle that? Put that one down. I think we might be okay. All right, now, George, grab a hold of that one. Now, this is your afflictions. This is your problems. This is your pain. Now, George, you can stop whenever you need to. We're going to preach for about 30 more minutes. Keep going. Keep going. George represents God in this situation. See, I'm Michaela over here. I can pick this up, so I try to pick it up. And I want to carry it because I feel like I can. I can handle this affliction. I can handle. I've got this one. But when I step up to the big stuff, then I say, oh, now, God, I can't handle this one. I can't pick this one up. I need you to help me. So God comes in and picks up the big one. But I want you to know something, that it's not too big or too small for God to do it for you. Amen. Have a seat, brother. He never once said that you've got to do it on your own. Matter of fact, he says, don't do it on your own. Be still and know that I am the Lord. God wants to fight these things for you. God wants to be there for you. He wants to be your strength in those times when you need him, both in the big times and in the small times. But do you know how I know? Y'all were impressed by that. I snatched that up, weren't you? I know y'all were impressed. These are my weights. I did have to dust them off before I brought them in, but they are my weights. Do you know how I know that God could pick up these big things in my life? I've let him pick up all the other things that were smaller than it. I've trusted in the Lord even when I could have done it on my own. Now listen, somebody needs to hear this. So you want to see God bigger in your life, but you haven't surrendered totally over to him. You haven't given everything over to God. You've still been holding on to this piece because you feel like either God is too big for it or that you could do it on your own. But here's what I want to tell you. God wants to have all of you. Good, bad, God wants it all. That's how much he loves you. So how big is God to you? For me, he's as big as he needs to be when I need him to be it. So when I ask God, can you help me with this? God can be as small as Michaela to pick up that little one. And when I say, Lord, I can't handle this one, God can be as big as George, figuratively, to be able to help me with this one. Everybody stand with me this morning here. We're going to close out this morning. And I want to give you one last piece of advice. One last counsel, that if you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember this as you go out. Don't negotiate with the devil. Don't say, this is too big, how about just this? It doesn't matter what the devil tries to throw on you, how big or how small. You don't have to negotiate it. You don't have to worry about it. You just simply have to trust in God. And let him handle the situation for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Across the sanctuary this morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. I heard a story the other day that talked about two young men that had walked by a tent revival that was going on. And they went in to go in and couldn't find a seat, so they went to leave. And the usher that was in the back of the tent ran after those two guys and stopped them and pulled them and said, listen, come back in. We'll find a seat for you. So the usher brought those two young boys back in, and he asked some people to move down and found two seats for them to sit. And they sat there and they listened to this old-timey preacher up there talking about the goodness of God and what it could do in their lives. And those two young men made a decision that they were going to follow Christ and that they were going to serve him the rest of their life. One of those men was Billy Graham. I want you to know something, that God has a purpose for your life. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, today is the day that you can make the greatest decision you'll ever make. If there's anybody here that hasn't done that, that wishes to do so, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at today. Will y'all join me in praying for lost souls that need to come to Christ? Some of you here are going through things, and you need to be believing for a bigger God. You need to be believing that God can be as big as your situation that you're facing. If that's you here today, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Say, Lord, I need your help. God bless you, I see your hand. God bless you, I see your hand. God bless you, I see your hand. I tell you what we're going to do. I want to close out, and I want us to sing Majesty. And as we're singing Majesty this morning, I want to pray with you. Come up, just you and me, we're going to be in agreement that whatever you're going through, that God is going to be and is bigger than the situation that you're facing this morning. As they play, come and join me this morning. I want to pray with you.
Majesty.